the next 10 to 20 years. And this is one of the chief issues in Iraq, in the Middle East, although it is quietly kept, that the people, that army or that nation that controls the waters coming from the Tigris and Euphrates will have a powerful hand in the future of the Middle East. The scientists have also found that we are destroying the ancient rainforests with the misuse of technology and the release of these dioxide into the atmosphere. The temperature is changing. The polar ice caps are melting. And countries such as the Maldives Islands, the Coral, within 20 years of Iyad al-Bilal, could be endangered. The president of the Maldives, an island state off the coast of India, which is 90% Muslim, came to South Africa and addressed the nations of the world to appeal to them to use their sense, return to your humanity in the use of the natural resources. We are destroying the environment created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam has the solution. Islam has a holistic way of life that looks upon science as an amanah, a trust, that looks upon knowledge not as a means to gain power, but a means to fulfill the responsibility to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. One of the institutes, the World Watch Institute, a few years ago, did a survey, and they were questioning what is the greatest cause of political instability in the world. And they came to the conclusion that one of the greatest causes is not a terrorist group out of the law of the world, but it's the environment. Because if we don't deal with the environment, then as a human race, we are facing imminent destruction. And so, Muslims need to see that our mission is greater than the Muslim community itself. The mission of Islam encompasses all of life. In the economic field, the system of usury and interest, corporate domination, is wreaking havoc all over the planet. We have found that again, one of the great causes of global instability is not terrorism. It is the failure of the rich to meet the needs of the poor. 20% of the world's population consume 90% of the resources. 2/3 of the people on this planet live on less than $2 per day. U.S. livestock is fed enough grain and soybeans yearly to feed the human population 5 times. That's what they feed their animals. 5 times the whole human population. Islam has the solution. An interest-free economy to live in a society where our business is not done with false promissory notes, but that we exchange that which has intrinsic value, that we do not use cheating and mistrust in order to raise ourselves economically. In the spiritual level, humanity is in crisis. We are living in an age of a rising secular humanism. Secularism, atheism, it permeates our educational systems. It permeates the television, the movies, the technology. We also find the confusion with those who believe in many gods, who are lost in a sea of belief. We also see the rise of Sahara, of magicians, as in the time of Fir'aun. magicians all around the planet, and more people who are frustrated with atheism, frustrated with secularism, are turning to spirit mediums, fortune tellers, in order to find out what will be happening in the future. There is a natural human need, a thirst to know what will happen in the next life. Right from the Sahara, even in South Africa, this man, I think his name is Edward, he talks to your ancestors. And so he sits down and you sit there and then he says, your grandfather is here and I'm talking to him in the next life. And he's got a yellow sweater on. And your uncle and this same Edmund's person from the States, they listen to him in South Africa. It is desperation why people would go to a person like this and believe what he is saying. In South Africa, we even have a form of magic from Alhamdulillah called Muti, where they cut off the limbs of the human being while the person is alive, and then use this in order to gain benefits or to repel evil. And so Islam has the solution for the spiritual crisis. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. Clearly we state, it is you alone, Allah, that we worship, and to you alone we seek help. In the social level, racism, bigotry is on the rise. We thought that with the change happening in Southern Africa, that people would begin to see that it makes more sense for the races to come together, for people to solve their problems without violence. But bigotry is on the rise, and right-wing organizations are organizing themselves all around the planet. Families are breaking up. Divorce is on the rise. Humanity is in a social crisis. On the political level, the leaders in most of the countries have become the most untrustworthy people. And the masses of the people throughout the world are questioning their leaders, distrusting what they say. If a person says, I've become a politician, in most countries it means he's probably become a crook. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said in an authentic hadith reported by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ صَلَوَاتٌ حَتَّى يُصَدِّقُ فِيهَا الْكَاذِبُ وَيُكَذِّبُ فِيهَا الصَّادِقُ وَيُتَمَنُّ فِيهَا الْقَائِلُ وَيُكَوِّنُ فِيهَا الْأَمِينُ وَيَنْطِقُ فِيهَا الرُّوَيْبِدَةُ قِيلَ لَهُ مَا الرُّوَيْبِدَةُ قَالَ الرَّجُلُ السَّافِي يَتَكَلَّمُ فِي أَمْرِ الْعَالَمِ. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, there will come upon the people years of deceit in which the liar will be believed and the truthful person disbelieved. The treacherous will be trusted and the trustworthy held to be treacherous. And the despicable will speak out. And it was said, who are these despicable ones? And he said, the lowly, ignoble man who speaks out in public affairs. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surely he did not speak from himself, but he spoke from above seven heavens. And the Muslim world is not free of this. Zulayh ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reports that the Prophet sallallahu said, Yakunu alaykum umara hum sharrun min al-majus. He said, the time would come when your leaders would be upon you and they would be worse than the fire merchants. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islam has the solution. Khilafah ala minhaj al-nubuwwah. The prophetic leadership of the system set up the program of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. But what is really happening around us? As the world is going into such a serious crisis, are being occupied. The mind is being occupied. The media is bombarding us. We have become consumers. And the younger generation is definitely is more concerned with what type of running shoe they have on, or shirt, than Nike Air. They just do it. The Levi, hip figure. And even I went to Medina and the sisters have beautiful abayas on. And they said, this is an Arabian abaya. And when she turned back on the back of the abaya, it said, Calvin Klein. Gucci has a 90-year check. Mass indoctrination, powerful stimulants, sex, drugs, and violence, a constant bombardment of sporting events. It is sunnah to play sports. It's not just sunnah to do two rakat sunnah in the mosque. It's sunnah to be able to swim, to ride, to shoot, to defend yourself. But we are being controlled by the sporting events. One season to another. One cup to another. One championship to another. This summer I went to the UK in August. And the people said, you are from South Africa? And they said, South African cricket team, you defeated us. And they looked at me as though a large army of South Africans had destroyed the British. And when I thought about it, it was a few grown men standing on a field and he throws the ball and he hits the little ball and it knocks down the little wooden stick. And the people are crying and cheering as though their nation has won the greatest battle. There's nothing wrong with sports. But if we are more concerned with a ball being kicked into a net than children being gunned down in Philistine, or confusion in Iraq,
our relationship with the Creator of the heavens and the earth.
to return to the Quran, return to the Book of Allah, and build a spiritual shield around ourselves in these times of confusion. Number two, a proper knowledge of Islam based upon a strong foundation in the Arabic language and a return to the classical texts of Islam. We need to spend more time studying Islam than arguing about minor issues in Islam. Number three. Number three. Hikmah. We need to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wisdom. And the Arabs were saying, Wajr al-Shaykh fi mahali, putting something in the proper perspective. That's all it is. It's not sometimes what you know, it's sometimes how you get across. We can have people with thousands of hadith, but if they can't get across to those who are in need, then it becomes useless. It becomes kamath al-himar yahmilu asfara. It is like a donkey with books on its back. The donkey is got Bukhari and Muslim and Tirmidhi, but he can't use it. So we need to pray to Allah for wisdom. Number four, proper Islamic character. We have for a long time focused on ibadat. We teach our children how to pray, how to fast, how to make hajj. But now we need to know, why are we praying? Why are we fasting? The prayer should lead to a better character. The hajj should transform the person's personality. The Prophet ﷺ, in a hadith reported in Al-Muwatta, said, وَإِنْتُمْ لِكُتَمِمَا مُسْلِمْ أَخْلَاقِ I have been sent to complete the best in character. So we need to focus on our personalities, not the size of our beard or the length of our dress. Character is the essence of Islam. And the other aspect should come along with the character, courage and conviction. We need a generation of Muslims who are not afraid to speak the truth and who will speak the truth under any circumstances.
Muslim. He did not say
to an Arabic Muslim, or a Hanafi Muslim, or a Maliki Muslim, or Ikhwani Tablighi, Hizb Tahrir. The people of the Qibla, we need to look at each other as the people of the Qibla. And if there is a difference in a, with another Muslim, make dua for that person. Don't come down. A positive approach. We need a positive approach. It's a win-win situation. If you don't win in this life, inshallah, you win in the next life. When the Prophet, peace be upon him, would send out his people, he would tell them, "Ashiru wa la tudafiru, yasiru wa la tu'athiru." He would tell them, "Give glad tidings. Don't drive people away. Make it easy. Don't make it difficult." And finally, outreach. One of the greatest things that we can do now is not to go backwards and hide, but to come out in the open to the world. Show them the beauty of Islam. That Islam can solve the environmental crisis. It can solve the social problems, racism, family breakup. Islam can solve the political situation. It can solve the economic situation. The spiritual vacuum can be filled by Islam. But the liars would try to make you think and make the world think that Islam is terrible. But I say to the liars, as the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, when a man named Musaylimah wrote a letter to him, he said, from Musaylimah, the messenger of Allah, to Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, "You take half Arabia, I take the other half." The Prophet, peace be upon him, answered, "Bin Muhammad Rasulullah ila Musaylimah al-Kazzab," to Musaylimah the liar. And he quoted from his creator, "Inna al-arda lillahi yurithuha min yasha'u min ibadi wal-'aqibatu lil-muttaqin." This earth belongs to Allah, and he will give it to whom he pleases, from his slaves and his worshippers. And the best reward, the true victory in the end, is for those who have taqwa. I leave you with these thoughts, and I ask Allah to have mercy on me and you. And I ask Allah to raise up the banner of Islam throughout this world, and to strengthen the Muslims, and to have mercy upon those who are suffering in these disasters. May Allah have mercy upon them, and enter them into the highest part of Jannah. And may Allah help you and your children to hold on to kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfiru li wa lakum wa assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.